Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 403 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Liz Nelson. Liz lives in Costa Mesa, California, where she is a director of sales and marketing for a life plan retirement community. Welcome, Liz.
Hey, Jen. This is super exciting.
Well, I love my job. I love talking to people. Like literally, if I'm at the grocery store, I just talk to people. But getting to talk to people like you about intermittent fasting, so much fun.
Yes, it shows. Thank you for what you do.
Well, I love doing it. So, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting and when was that?
Okay, the quick answer and then the long answer.
Right.
The quick answer is it was probably in about 2014, 2015. I was on a keto phase at that time.
Ditto. I was exactly on the keto phase in 2014. Yeah.
We're really twins separated at birth. There are a lot of similarities. Everybody says that because that's why we're all together, but there are a lot of similarities. But yeah, it was 2014, 2015. I was in my keto phase and intermittent fasting was kind of talked about as a skip breakfast and drink bulletproof coffee. So that's how I first heard of the concept. And then keto went away. So did bulletproof coffee. But then in 2021, I was searching on the internet and I really don't know exactly. I know you'd love to hear as marketing. I can appreciate that. I know you love to hear how people found you, but I really don't remember other than I was Googling, probably looking for the next big diet that was going to help me. And you came up and I started with Delay, Don't Deny, read that book.
I love that. Look, I am the worst at all that. Like I'm part of a health and wellness community where we get together and people use words like
SEO. How do you optimize your SEO? And I'm like, I don't know. I probably have not optimized my SEO. I've never in my life done one thing to optimize my SEO. So you're probably like dying a little bit inside.
No, I don't know. I'm the creative part of marketing. I'm not the technical part. I have people help me with that.
I figure the right people will find me if they're meant to find me. They'll find me.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think people are meant to find you and it happens. And so that's the quick version of how I found intermittent fasting. But I guess, do you want me to deep dive into the whole
diet
history? Well, let's see. Basically, you know, I was trying to think about like, what is the moment? You know, I think we all kind of go back in our history and like, what happened? Like, what put me on this journey of a lifetime of struggle with my weight and with my thoughts around weight. And I was looking at the different things and I think, you know, okay, I was like, well, was it because I was a sickly kid and I was on a ton of antibiotics?
Ditto.
Yeah. Was it because, you know, we were talking about things you see on TV like Charlie's Angels and 90210 and your kids at school? Was it that? Was it that I was home alone in the afternoons and food is entertainment? Or could it have been just, I'm a big person. I'm 5'10". I was adult woman size wise, like in middle school. So there was that comparison thing really came in, kind of that just stole my joy right then and there. Like, I'm the big girl.
And, you know, you mentioned Charlie's Angels and that whole era. And that was the age of really, really thin waif-like characters on television with the big hair, and they were all very willowy and skinny.
They were. And I, you know, I just listened to episode yesterday. I think it was maybe Lisa. She mentioned 90210. And I'm like, oh yeah, they were all like super thin teenage girls. But I don't know. It's probably the culmination of all of that, right? That really got me on my journey. But I was always the larger kid in class, definitely larger than the girls. Sometimes the boys too, so they caught up. I just always remember not feeling happy with what I look like or what I weighed. Of course, hindsight's 20/20. I graduated from high school weighing 150 pounds.
Which is a very good weight for 5'10". That's like ideal, right? Perfect. Like if you look at the charts, obviously the charts are not taking into consideration your own frame size, your muscle mass, all of that. But as a rule of thumb, that would be on the formula ideal.
Yeah, I look at my high school pictures and I'm like, what was wrong with me? I look great.
Yeah, but you probably had a friend who was like 5'2 and weighed 110, and 150 sounds like a lot more than 110.
Yeah, I had one friend who was a runner and super like that runner's body and petite. Yeah. And my mom and I used to joke all the time, like, you know, all the football players wanted to date the little girls. And I'm like, they just tuck them up under their arm. But here's me like, hey, pick me. I'm 5'10. We would look great together. But no. No. I just remember that time being like just never really happy. A lot of comparison. I think I went on my first diet with my mom. We went to Weight Watchers. I think I was in middle school. I might have been a freshman in high school, but I do know that it was a diet. And I remember doing that with her. We also had all that low fat era. Then I can't believe it's not butter and all that.
The early 90s.
Yeah. Early 90s. Yeah.
Did that one work for your body?
You know, I'm really good at losing weight. Every diet I've done, I've lost weight on. Really, honestly, every single diet I've lost weight on.
See, that's the thing for me. Like, I look back on what worked for me. Low-carb keto never worked one time, so why did I keep going back to it? I don't know. Why did I try it a million times? That's so dumb.
That probably is, honestly, for me, that is the right formula.
Is it? Yeah.
But I have lost weight on everything. So,
but low fat, I lost weight like crazy. Like that was the one that the snack wells and the crap food, my body lost a lot. I mean, I didn't look healthy because I was eating junk, but I lost so much weight on it. It really just goes to show our bodies are different.
They really are. But I think that kicked off, you know, that was the first diet. And then graduated from high school, went to college, the whole nine yards. I think really the whole time, always losing, gaining, yo-yo dieting, restriction. Bad foods, good foods, constantly thinking about what did I eat? Was that good? Was that bad? How many calories were in that? But anyway, fast forward, I got married when I was in 1994 at 26, my husband, John. And I remember exactly, as we all do, these milestone weights. I was 180 pounds. I had probably dieted to 180 pounds. My wedding dress was a size 16. I was so upset. I had tried to do the whole, we was way before your wedding. These are pictures you're going to have a lifetime. But I was 180.
My dress was a size 12, and that was 1991 sizes, so it's probably an 8 now. I'm just guessing because, yeah, I put it on now and it's too big for me. But, yeah, I was like, 12 is kind of big, right?
I didn't like the number. Let's just say it that way. I didn't like the number.
Me neither. Yeah.
But I look at my wedding pictures. I look fine. I look good. I looked happy. It's all good. But, you know, and so then married life starts, right? And just I think from there, the short version is like everybody else, I did all the things. I gained and lost weight. I can't even tell you. I joke with my husband. He's been married to 10 different women in the course of 30 years. Yeah. All different sizes. You know, the keto size, the worked well, the carnivore size, the all the crazy. I did every diet. I've done keto, carnivore, Nutrisystem, counting calories, fit for life, Weight Watchers multiple times. So yeah, that was kind of my adult life. I'm still constantly taking up a lot of brain space with that.
And it was this whole idea that it's got to be something that we can do, that we just change what we're eating and that's the only thing we have to do. And it can just, then it'll just like find that magic formula and the constant struggle of not knowing, like, and going from thing to thing.
Well, and here's the thing. When I put my mind to something, like I'm an achiever. I am excellent at putting my mind to something. Losing weight, I'm very good at. Maintaining weight, not so much.
Well, because you can't hold on to that restriction of whatever it was.
No.
That's the hard part.
So I guess fast forward, you know, married life. And then in 2010. Oh, and I forgot the diet of just giving up. We've talked about that too on the show. Did that as well a couple times. But in 2010, we had the opportunity, my husband and I, to move from Virginia, where I was born and raised.
Oh, what part of Virginia?
I was born in Charlottesville, but my formative years were in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. It's a lovely part of the state. I grew up in, you know, outside the Lynchburg area, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. My family, my mom and dad are from Nelson County. So I'm really familiar with when you talk about where you're from. So
it's beautiful country. So you moved from Virginia to California. And
we did in 2010. And when I got here, immediately you have all these preconceived notions of what California is like and the people who live here. And part of the whole joy of living in Southern California is the weather's great, right? People are out all the time being active, moving, doing all sorts of things. So very quickly, I made the connection that this is a really outdoor, active, healthy, for the most part, you know, there are overweight people in California, but very active lifestyle. And when I'm looking around at this point, I weigh 234 pounds. So that was tough. That was tough. We wanted to do all these fun things. We, you know, took up sailing. We wanted to go bike riding. We were traveling a lot. And it was just not easy at 234 pounds. And sometime that year, I think it was around in November, my aunt, who I consider almost like a sister because she also struggles. Aunt Sue, shout out to Aunt Sue.
Hello, Aunt Sue.
She has struggled her whole life as well with her weight, but she had been doing Medifast and she lost over 100 pounds on Medifast. Wow. Yes, and became a coach and did all the things with that.
Is that like shakes?
Medifast is now Optavia. It is shakes and bars and packaged Frankenfood and 5 healthy snacks and 1 lean and green meal.
Yeah. That would be like, I could just imagine how miserable that would be now after living an intermittent fasting lifestyle. If I had to follow that, I could not do it.
I really think the only reason why I did well on it was because we were brand new to California. I was focused on my job. We hadn't made friends really. So I wasn't socializing as much. So I could be very controlled. And I think that's why I did so well. So I started in November of 2010 at 234, and by May, I was 152.
Oh my goodness. That was a lot of weight loss in a very short time. Wow. And yeah. I bet it felt amazing.
It did. I mean, people, obviously, I was on top of the world, for sure. I was so proud of myself, and I looked great. In fact, you know, I was joking about my husband, you know, being married to 10 different women. There was a point one time when we were in Costco, and he couldn't find me. And I was standing like one aisle over. Like
he just did not recognize you.
No. Just didn't recognize me. So yeah, to say I looked a lot different. In fact, I was actually too skinny. Looking back now at the pictures, I was too skinny. But it was super great. Like trying on clothes was awesome. everything fit. I think I was wearing at one point like size 6 jeans. It was awesome. It was awesome.
I know that feeling, the crash dieting days and the losing the weight quickly and feeling so good in your clothes. And then as the months went by, then, oh, wait, these clothes won't fit anymore. I can't button them. And, oh, no.
Then you know right. My story. Wait.
I do. I've lived that punchline. Story. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, I did okay for like the first year. I gained, I think when I look back now, I was gaining steadily back about 8 pounds a year. So the first year when I gained back the 8 pounds, I still looked really good because I was kind of skinny. And even maybe the next 8 pounds wasn't bad. But then it kind of kept going. And so back to the whole dieting off and on, that's where other things came in, like keto and carnivore. I tried to go back to MediFast, but at that point, I had a life. I had friends.
The first time, maybe you like can like white knuckle your way through it. But then you try to do it again, and you're like, I can't. That was like me with that HCG diet, right? Yes. You know, it worked
Never
well.
Never did that one.
Like it literally worked well the first time that I did it. And when I say worked well, I mean that I could lose the weight, not that I could maintain it. I could not. But then when I tried it again, it felt like so terrible. I couldn't stick to it. Like I had paid for this whole program of a certain number of weeks, but I couldn't make it to the end. Like I could not. It was too much.
Well, I do remember HCG was the one diet I don't think I did, but I remember I was working at the time in pharmaceutical sales and I was riding with one of my sales reps and she was doing the HCG diet. And in my mind, I thought, that is crazy.
Well, look,
never do that.
If a doctor writes a book about it, right? It was written by a doctor and Dr. Simeons in the 1950s. And he, Liz, he alone had discovered the magic secret. You just inject yourself with pregnancy hormone. And here's why that works. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. It makes so much sense. I could, no.
I think the magic secret on those diets is that you basically lose the will to live.
Right. It was awful. It was awful.
So you're just like, okay, I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to do anything because quite honestly, what's there to live for?
The craziest ones I ever did were written by doctors. Yeah. The HCG diet. The 5-bite diet was written by a bariatric surgeon. And when you look back at it and read it, it sounds very much eating disordered, like the way he manages his own life. And I'm like, okay.
Well, post-MediFast, like I kind of had – there was definitely a judgment on, you know, now I went back and looked at it's like, why was MediFast so successful? Like, what was the formula? And I looked at like the fat grams, the protein, the carbs, and like tried to recreate it with food because I was like, I know this Frankenfood is not good, but at the time, sometimes you're desperate and it worked. It did work.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired
on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study.
So anyway, you know, I started gaining the weight back, you know, found all the things, did all the things again. But that took me to 2021 to pick that back up on the intermittent fasting thread, which is why we're here.
Right.
That took me to 2021 in January when I was Googling and found you. And like everybody, this is not going to be new news. When I read your book, it made sense. Like that actually made sense, like good common sense. And I thought, why not? So I started intermittent fasting, I think it was mid-January, and I was definitely one of the people who ate all the things. All the restrictions went out the door. I really started trying to heal the judgment on what I was eating. I was enjoying carbs, all the things. And I think I started with just 16-8, but quickly could do 19, 20, one meal a day, like within probably the first or second week. And I think because maybe doing keto and carnivore, maybe I was able to get into ketosis more quickly.
Did you go straight from a keto / carnivore into intermittent fasting?
I had been doing carnivore previous to that, like in 2020. We're 29. I can't remember.
You're an early adopter because not very many people were carnivore back then.
Yeah, I was an early adopter. And I did it for like 6 months. And the simplicity of it was easy. But you get tired. You know, like you want other food.
Right.
And I did feel good. But I don't think I was coming straight off of carnivore when I started intermittent fasting.
One thing about when you're doing keto or carnivore or anything like that and you're fat adapted, someone was asking about that yesterday in the community, so I looked it up to make sure I was using the correct wording. You know, I'm not a doctor or a biologist or any of that, but it talked about having to build up your fat-burning pathways and your fat-burning enzymes and all of that. I hope I'm explaining it well, but you build those up, and then you don't, like, lose them right away. So you probably were able to...
Maybe like muscle memory.
Exactly. And so you had built all those pathways up. Your body was used to using fat for fuel, like in keto, and it made the transition a little easier. That would not surprise me at all.
Yeah. And I think what I noticed right away in those first few weeks was that it wasn't hard. Obviously, I knew about the clean fast at that point because I read your book and started right. I know you weren't calling it that, Delay, Don't Deny, but the concept was there. So I started right away with that. So there was no dirty fasting. And also the coffee thing, come on, people, just rip off the Band-Aid. It's
not hard.
You can
do it. No.
Just dove right in. And I think maybe 3 days of like, oh, I don't know. But after that, then you start loving it and noticing the subtle differences between coffee and going on a whole coffee journey to find what you love. But I just noticed right away it was easy. I didn't struggle. I think the hardest thing for me really was, and I may be jumping ahead, is over the course of that year, I'll come back to that. But over the course of that year or 10 months, in 10 months, I lost 30 pounds. So by like November of 2021, I was down to right around 200, 203.
And where did you start intermittent fasting? So right around
233.
Okay, 233.
1 pound less than when I started MediFast.
Oh, no. And that's like...
I drew the line in the sand.
Right.
I drew the line in the sand at 233.
Right. You're like, I'm not getting back to 234. Bam.
Exactly. Yes, that was the moment. So I was about 233. And like I said, I was just doing all the things. I was eating whatever I want. I was drinking alcohol. I was doing all the things. All I was doing was eating in a, you know, time restricted window. And eventually, I think quickly, I got to one meal a day and just went on that journey. And along that 10 months, the things that were interesting to me, because it is a journey, you're learning a lot, your communities and you. And I was listening to tons of podcasts, just immersing myself in all the things we would talk about, reading books. Obesity Code, Appetite Correction, eventually Fast, Feast, Repeat, listening to other podcasts. I was trying to unpack the appetite correction and eat when you're hungry and listen to your body. I wanted to hit you so many times with the listen to your body. I was like, Jen, what are you talking about? And eat when you're hungry. I'm like, I'm never hungry. I'm never hungry. I just had no concept of what, no connection to my body whatsoever.
I get it. I totally
so
get
mad
it.
At you so many times.
Well, that's all right. Yes. That's all right. Look, listen, that I think you're the best teachers in the world. You should get mad at them sometimes, because when I was teaching, the craziest thing that ever happened was when they started evaluating us in all sorts of different ways. But at some point, they decided that the way they were going to evaluate us, part of it was student surveys. The students were going to take surveys about their teachers, and that was going to factor in. Like, even kindergartners were had to take surveys about what they felt about their teacher. And I'm like, well, this is ridiculous, because you want the kids to not always be happy. You want them to be mad at you. That's how you teach them and push them. And so anyway, I'm not upset that you were mad at me.
Okay, because I was like, what are these people talking about? Yeah. They're speaking another language that I just don't understand. And honestly, that was definitely part of, I still am getting in touch with that. And yeah.
It's a process.
Celebrated 3 years. It's definitely a process. So trying to listen to that, trying to heal the diet brain. The diet brain is still there.
I get it.
I'm still pushing it down. It's like whack-a-mole.
You know, I've just had my own experience with diet brain, and we have been living that for decades, right? And so the whole learning to listen to your body, if I could circle back to that and why it's so hard, it's because we started training ourselves not to listen to our body early on. From the times of, you know, the meta fast, when you're like eating these, whatever it is, and you're ignoring, you're pushing through, you're starving and you feel terrible, but you're like, well, I got to be thin. I got to do all these things. And when we're doing intermittent fasting, we learn to listen to our body in a different way. Like, I just had a little stomach growl, a little mild hunger. I'm ignoring it. It will fade away. I will feel better. That being said, if it got worse and worse and worse and more persistent and I felt starving and it was a different kind of hunger, I would eat. And you learn to hear the difference.
And I'm just not one of those people where I get like starving. Right. I haven't really experienced that yet. Just like you described, the little hunger pang, you're like, you wake up and you're like a little hunger pang. Like, oh, breakfast sounds interesting. But then you, you know, drink some water, get on with your day. And then next thing you know, it's 2 o'clock. You're fine. You're like, it's 2 o'clock. Should I eat? I'm not hungry. You know, I don't know. I'm still kind of, but I don't ever think I'm starving.
Well, it sounds like your body is fat adapted. Well, your body is fat adapted and running on that stored fuel. And that is where it gets a little tricky. The whole idea of appetite correction, when your body's running on the stored fat and not getting stuck in a really short window day to day, because you really could have that happen, right? You could be like, well, I'm just not hungry. My body's running on stored fat. So then you end up with a little short window because you're listening to your body. And then your body's like, well, you know, I know what's going on now. It's short every day. So your body can downregulate to adapt to that. And that can happen.
And I think there have been times. So, you know, I picking back up, you know, I got down 200 pounds easily. And then 2 years went by of just being there. And it didn't change my thoughts about intermittent fasting. I loved it. I loved all the non-scale victory parts and the way I felt. But I just kind of stalled. And I think I would get into diet brain. I did get into some kind of, even though I was eating all the things, I would get probably what you're just describing. Maybe I had a too short of a window and I would get a little restriction mentality and I would overeat for a period of time and then rein it back in. So I did go up and down a little bit, but I kind of just hovered around that weight. And I would have conversations with myself about tweaking. What do I need to tweak? And so during those 2 years, I ran two experiments, science of one. One experiment was alternate daily fasting, and that lost weight very easily. But I'm like, kind of like eating every day. And I know we can do the 500 calorie meal, but sometimes you can control that. Sometimes you can't. So I ran that experiment and like dropped maybe 9 pounds. And then, you know, it's like, don't want to do that anymore. And then later I ran the, okay, you know what? Food quality. Let's try that. Let's try clean eating. Same results. So I'm like, okay, you need to choose. Now you know, what do you want to do to go to the next level? Because you're not done yet. You're still on your journey. Like, you're doing great. You feel great. I feel great. this is my conversation with myself. I'm sharing that with you.
Well, I love that. It sounds like a good one. You're doing great. It's good to say to yourself.
We're getting along better now.
Right.
But anyway, so I was like, okay, in my mind, I was preparing for the next tweak because I think I was still healing over those 2 years and just like cutting myself some slack.
So food quality was a big tweak that worked well for you.
Well, I had to make a decision. Food quality was a big tweak. And ultimately, in the back of my mind, that is the solution for a lifetime.
Yeah.
I think we all know, again, when you ask yourself like, hey, my honesty pants are tight. Why is that? You know. And so in my mind, I know I'm past the wisdom that comes with 3 years of doing this. I'm past that this is a diet that's going to get me where I want to go to this is my lifestyle. I'm a 56-year-old woman. How do I want to live the rest of my life? And what do I want that to look like? And deep down, I knew that it was going to be food. I'm getting emotional. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I'm glad it's bringing up important things.
Yeah. I think deep down, I knew that it would have to be food quality.
Yeah. And that's hard. And, you know, there's a lot of can be sadness when you realize that. And maybe not even sadness, but, you know, we've given up so many things with diets. You know, like when you're carnivore, you can never have like a potato ever again. And then you're realizing that food quality does matter, but it's redefining that and thinking about food in a different way. Like, you know, you can be sad, oh, I'm never going to get to have an Oreo again, right? I'm choosing not to have Oreos, but I can have a delicious real potato or whatever it might be, the real food, the food quality, and really giving your body what it needs to be nourished.
And I can say, so what I'm gearing up for is my next big tweak to share with you. So I had this adult conversation with myself around the holidays. And it's like, okay, Liz, what's the next thing? Like, you've been hanging here for 2 years. I want to buy a new wardrobe. I want to do all those things. And so I decided that it was going to be food quality. And about this same time, I'm having conversations with my best friend, Jill. Big shout out to Jill. She is my partner in crime. She's been on this journey with me as well. And we just share all the things. We talk about podcasts. We just nerd out about all things. And she, yeah, love her. She's like a great support system. So we were talking about something that she did. She worked with a nutritionist. And in talking with her about this nutritionist, at first I was like, come on, nutritionist. Like, we know all this stuff. We're experts. We have PhDs in this because we listen to podcasts all the time. Like, what can she tell me? But in talking with her more, I found out that this person really kind of thinks the same way that we do. But also, she's not in the business to lose weight, help you lose weight. She's in the business to help you maintain your loss and teach you what those people do who keep the weight off.
Ooh.
So I was like, now I'm intrigued.
Right.
Because in addition to having this aha moment about food quality, my aha moment was, okay, in the course of living this lifestyle for the rest of my life, I'm going to need to learn the behaviors of people who are successful at keeping it off.
I love that.
Yes. You're never too old to learn new things.
Absolutely.
So in January, very cliche, I know, on January the 2nd, I started working with this nutritionist. And she's been teaching me a lot. And I thought, and I know a lot. I've immersed myself in this health and wellness world. But she's been teaching me a lot. So I started with the food quality.
And I'm so excited to hear what she's teaching you because, you know, I love to learn new things as well. And every person's journey is just so personal. And finding the tweak or the mindset shift or the just a little bit of this and that. So I'm so excited. All right. So let's talk about what she is teaching you.
All right. Well, the first thing we did, because, you know, we're losing weight too. But the first thing we did is, you know, just food quality. It's all the things you guys already know out there. I'm delaying alcohol. I'm delaying sugar. And I'm eating real food. And I'm trying to look at my same thing too. I'm trying to look at my plate and have vegetables.
Right.
You know, eating the rainbow. We all know that from Zoe, Tim Spector. Eating the rainbow, having vegetables, you know, having good quality protein source. I do love meat. Sorry, Jen. I'm a meat eater.
Okay.
This is where our journey separates. Beans, not so much.
Oh, that's all right. I really don't have any emotion tied to what foods work for you.
I'm passionate about beans.
Well, I do love beans, but yes. I understand not everyone does. I was just in Arizona for a health and wellness conference last week, and I was so happy the days they had beans. They always have a lot of meat.
Yeah.
So I'm eating the beef. I like beef, but I'm avoiding the chicken, avoiding the fish, eating all the beans.
So. There you go. Okay. Well,
so you're adding the protein
because I like beef too.
Okay. Beef is good. Like you're eating the veggies, eating the rainbow, eating the right amount of protein for your body. That's really what I think the key is.
And just monitoring the starchy stuff. There was also, and again, this is my journey. I'm not a proponent for everybody else, but there was also a 2-week kind of liver cleanse. And I thought, why not? Like maybe my liver is clogged. I don't know. You know how we get. We're like, sure, I'll try anything.
I'll try any, exactly.
Yeah. So I did it. Whatever. Again, our journey. But anyway, it started working. And I'm proud to say I've been at this maybe 6 weeks. I blew past the 190s.
Awesome.
Got out of the 200s, blew past the 190s. And now I'm like 189, 190. Awesome. Anyway. And along that way, we've been having conversations about things like I've been adding, you know, movement. So just adding movement, nothing crazy, walking 30 minutes a day.
Now, here's something important. You are eating an amount of food that is satisfying to your body. You do not feel overly restricted or like you are doing some kind of like a diet where you are not able to eat enough, right?
No, but we don't count macros. We
right.
don't count calories. We're basically, like I said, delaying sugar. And part of the early thing is it's a little bit like a whole 30 in that you give up some things initially.
Okay.
Anti-inflammatory diet. So
yes,
you're doing a liver cleanse. You're bringing down your inflammation. So in the first few weeks, you are taking some things out. But now that's allowed now. You know, I can have cheese if I want cheese. I can have starchy carb if I want that. But you're thinking about, again, I'm still delaying sugar and alcohol for sure and processed food.
I think that's like for everybody listening, if you're struggling, sugar is the thing we hear over and over again. Alcohol is the other thing and ultra processed foods, which of course sugar is an ultra processed food. Like if we just say ultra processed food, that would include sugar, but sugar seems to be a special kind of demon for a lot of people. And you know, it stimulates the brain in a different kind of a way for many. But really, if anyone is struggling, that tweak right there, sugar, alcohol, ultra processed food.
And I knew that.
Right.
I knew that. I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready.
Yeah, I
and
get
of
it.
Course, we've talked about this before. You and I have talked about this before, Jen. Now, when we're on the podcast listening, we feel like we're talking to you, but it's been talked about before that every diet guru, every plan, everybody agrees on those two things.
It's true. Ultra-processed food. Yeah, it's true. There is not, well, unless they're selling like OptiFast stuff, right? You know, but anybody who really is focusing on healing our bodies permanently and any plan that's like, this is what you can do forever has that same thing, real food, whether they are whole food plant-based or carnivore or paleo or whatever, it's real food versions. It's really when the marketing people start getting involved and trying to sell you like paleo bars or that's when it goes all wrong.
Yeah. And so what I learned from the nutritionist, a couple interesting facts I'll share and then some tips.
Awesome.
I don't mean this to be a downer, but we all know that 95% of the people who lose weight gain it back.
Right.
95%. And of the 95% who lose weight, 83% of those gain more.
Right.
This is not surprising to anybody listening. So she is in the business of teaching people what the 5% do.
Love it.
Yes, because she doesn't want repeat business, which I love about that too, because how many people who are in this space really don't want repeat business? This is a crazy industry. We all know how many dollars we threw at the diet industry.
Right. Well, like that big WW, not to mention any names, but they make their money from you coming back again and again.
Yes, yes. So I don't have the list with me, but let me just, from memory, there was about 9 or 10 things that people do. And I think one of them is you have to come to terms with what your relationship is with food and
so
kind of
big.
Know the things that trigger you. Maybe it's late night eating, or maybe it's high reward foods, or, you know, like the fat, sugar, carb combo, or maybe it's emotional eating. Like you have to understand what your relationship is with food and come to terms with that and try and find replacements for those things.
That's really, really important. I want to highlight that. And the individual part of that, there's your study of one. Come to terms with your relationship with food. What is it about you, that self-reflection? What is your struggle? You've got to be able to identify that and be really honest with yourself.
Yes. And so you're like, great, I understand that I'm an emotional eater. Perfect. Now, how do I fix that? So that's part of the journey. But that's one of the things, is understanding that. I think the second thing that's really interesting was about the frequency and the quantity about when you eat. So when it's time to eat and you're thinking to yourself, checking in, like, how hungry am I? What's going to satisfy the hunger, but also the emotional part, the satiety part too. So building a healthy plate. So when you're putting your food on your plate, it's a one-shot deal. You're putting your food on your plate based on having a conversation with yourself. And then if you sit down and you eat and you're like, you know, that really wasn't enough. You're like, okay, note to self, that wasn't enough this time, but you're not going back.
Okay. You're like, you're thinking ahead of time about how hungry you are and making that decision then.
Yeah. And so it's individual every single time, because some days, like you said, some days you're hungrier than other days, or maybe you worked out or whatever. So you're trying to judge like the combination of what's physically going to satisfy me and emotionally, right? We love to eat too. It's an experience. And you're going to do that to about 80%. So what's that? The Japanese, I can never
pronounce. Harahachi Bu.
Thank you. So yeah. Same concept, you kind of like what's going to satisfy you, but not push you over the limit. And then if you sit down and you misjudge, oh, well, you have another chance to do it next time you eat.
Well, and you know, what I love about that is that you're really focusing on emotional satisfaction as well. And that plays into, like, you know, my personal diet brain, recent experiments of knowing that whole food, plant-based, low fat gives me the best blood sugar control. And I was, my genes were super loose and all of that, but I didn't have the emotional satisfaction that I need from eating.
I think we have to, because I think many of us listening, that's a huge part of our story, is how we got here in the first place, is that emotional. And that's another tip, obviously, is finding, for those emotional eaters, you don't emotional eat. Okay, easier said than done, right? But we're going to work towards finding other ways to soothe ourselves besides food. So, you know, you make
a
list.
And you can learn, knowing that you can learn new things and new behaviors. You may be stuck in that pattern from childhood, you know, from when your mom gave you a cookie when you were sad, and you've just internalized that routine, but you can make a different choice. It's going to be not necessarily easy, easier said than done.
And you have to have a wide variety of choices, because if your only choice is, I'm going to take a bath, and you're at work and people are coming at you, you're not going to be able to leave work and go take a bath.
Right.
So you're going to have to find, you know, something else that works for a variety of circumstances and kind of really just reaping all this.
And I think also setting your environment up for success is a big part of that. Like, for example, you know, my struggle with cheesy, crunchy things. I've shared that before. But if I were having a harder day, and, you know, I don't really consider myself a super emotional eater with hard days. But if I were, and I had like a big bag of Doritos in there, I am more likely to go eat them. What I'm not going to do is get in my car and drive to the store and get a bag of Doritos and drive back home and eat them. So setting your environment up for success can make a huge, huge difference if it's a trigger food or an emotional habit food.
And there's a lot of things when I was going back through her list, and again, I'm trying to go from memory, a lot of them tie into what you're doing in the community. So the next one was like, have a supportive community. We all know that. We know the benefit of that. The other interesting thing tying onto that was have your friends who are supportive. You can have your friends, like you have your friends who want to go out and eat chocolate cake all the time. They want to go to happy hour. But you also need to have friends who support your lifestyle. So thank you, Jill.
Right. I was going to say shout out to Jill.
Shout out to Jill. Love her so much. You support your lifestyle, you know. And then also another interesting thing is have people who are one step ahead of you so they can pull you up.
That's the community part again, that works so well with our community. And, you know, if you're having a struggle, come in and like say it to people, like say, here's the struggle I'm having today, just putting it out there. And then people saying, well, I've had that struggle and here's what I've done, and giving each other that feedback and the support makes such a, people who have been there, Lord, I've been there. I've every struggle you can have probably.
Yeah. But those people are really going to elevate you and push you to achieve and go to the next level. We talked about movement.
Right.
It wasn't like go to the gym and kill yourself. It was like find something that you love to do, multiple things that you love to do, and do it every single day. For me, I love walking. It's simple. You open the door, you walk outside, you walk for 30 minutes, you come home. It's not hard. I listen to podcasts. So that's like my love right now, is that's my movement. So something like that. And the last thing I'll share, there's so many, it's been really helpful. But the last thing I think was really interesting is because we think about intermittent fasting and have this ability to eat what we want in our window. The other thing is plan for those things. Plan for those high reward type of foods or events. So it isn't like, oh, my window's open. It's whatever.
Free for all time.
Free for all. So it's like, Okay, I know I'm going out to dinner for my anniversary or what have you. I'm going to kind of plan for that. And so it's either post-day or pre-day, you're planning for that. I think that's maybe a little bit where the alternate daily fasting comes in. Like if you know you're going to have a really high reward day, then maybe you do a down day the day before.
Yeah.
But you're thinking about it. You're not a victim to the process. You're in control of, I want to do this. I'm going to enjoy this moment and I'm going to plan for it. So things like that.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So I'm setting myself up for what I'm going to do on the other side of this and how I'm going to learn and continue to learn so that I will successfully keep this weight loss off.
I love that. So tell us what your day looks like now as far as your eating window and it, like what you may be eating within it.
Yeah. So again, this is me. I have two or three food opportunities. They're not meals. They're two or three chances to eat. Depending on how hungry
you are. You know, here's what I'm going to say about that right there. That is so good. And I want listeners to hear this. You're not defining like what you're going to have to do. And that's the thing I've tried to communicate, but I may not have done a very good job because for some reason people seem to think they should have a snack and then a meal. And like, that's what you have to do. And no, you're going to have your food opportunities. You're going to eat accordingly at that time for how hungry you are. Yeah, that's super important.
So for me, like we talk about the fact that your first meal, that really that breaking your fast, it should be quality. It should be nutritious.
It sets you up for your whole window.
It does. And so for me right now, what I'm in is I am focusing a little bit more on protein because I do want to build some strength while I'm losing weight. So I'll kick it off with a shake, like some protein powder, some collagen powder, some super greens, cottage cheese, frozen fruit. Coconut milk, just like jam-packed. Like I'm hitting all, I'm checking all the boxes. That's how I break my fast. And then later, I might, if I feel like I'm a little hungry, I might have a snack, like, you know, fruit and some chicken salad. I don't know, something snack. And then dinner, you know, just that same concept, vegetables, meat, maybe like a small serving of a starchy carb right now. Because again, I'm still wanting to go the next level. And if I want some tortilla chips or I want some dark chocolate, like there's a place for that.
Right.
But just not right now.
Yeah, I get that. So how long is your window typically these days?
It varies. So that's the other thing. My window's always been nothing consistent.
Variable.
I don't. Yeah. I try and do 19.5.
Okay.
But some days it's 18.6.
Yeah.
some days it's 16:8. Just depends on what's going on in my at work or at home. But that's pretty much what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I think that's important. As I hinted at before, we don't want to get caught in a really short restrictive window day after day. And it can be easy to do. If you're like, well, I'm eating in 1 hour every single day, you know, we don't want to do that because our body can just get stuck in that. And giving it the variety and really thinking, I love that you're checking in with how much food do I need right now? And you're priming your body with satisfying nutrition. So that protein shake that you're drinking with all that goodness in there keeps you satisfied for a while.
Absolutely. There's sometimes where I don't need a snack, but
yeah. See, I'm like one of those. Maybe I just never found the right combination of a protein shake. Whenever I would try a shake, I'd be like so hungry later.
Well, and here's the thing. I was never one. This is why I don't even recognize myself right now, because shakes were never really my go-to, because I like to eat my food. I like to eat my food. I don't like to drink my food. But I think the balance of putting in enough protein, having some sweet with the fruit, the frozen fruit, and knowing that I've got like the super greens in it, I'm kind of getting it. Just for some reason, this season of my life, it's easy, it's nutritious, and it just like kind of kicks off that opening the window thing. I don't know if it'll be a forever thing.
Now that I mention it, there's one place that I can get a shake from. It's a place here nearby in a place called Market Common called Zardin, Z-A-R-D-I-N. And I was there with my son, Will. There's an art gallery there, and he's an artist. Y'all can check out willstevensart.com. Is that, can I give a shameless plug? He's doing such beautiful work. He's an oil painter. Yes. And he's trying to get his foot in the door. But there's the place Zardin has this shake, a protein shake. After I just said protein shakes make me hungry, this one doesn't. Now that you mention it, it's got like some kind of vegan protein in there. I don't even know what it is. And, you know, I'm not vegan. It also has honey in there. So, but it has peanut butter and bananas. And that is the one, now that I think about it, when I opened with that day, I just want to see what happens. You know, I said, I want to see if it actually kept me kind of full.
Well, I think too, it's the balance of all the nutrients that you look at it.
Yes.
Like I mean, I'm just in this. This is me. I'm in like this 40, trying to get maybe 40 grams of protein in that particular 30, 40 grams of protein, that particular meal, because it's easy. I respond well with that.
Right.
And it's kind of easy to put all that together, throw some frozen spinach in it, like all the veggie. You're checking all your boxes.
Yeah, that might be the difference. Maybe it's the nutritional component.
Makeup.
You're really, because again, our bodies are looking for nutrients. So maybe in the past, when I tried those shake programs, whatever they were, I was not really giving my body what it needed. Versus now, the one that they, whatever that combination is at Zardin, that one works really well. The peanut butter and the banana and the whatever it is.
I think this one has enough fat in it, but not too much fat, you know, for the loss part. But it's almost like taking the perfect meal, and I'm not doing macros and all that stuff, but almost just putting it all together in one easy delivery system.
Yeah.
That tastes refreshing and sweet.
And that's the key, is figuring out what makes you feel your best and what will keep you satisfied and what will nourish your body well, because that really is the key. Our body wants to be nourished well.
Yes.
And so when we focus on doing that, it makes the whole eating window a better experience.
And can I just compare and contrast like intermittent fasting alone, how I felt, and clean eating and intermittent fasting, how I felt? Because I think that would be really helpful for people.
Please do. Yeah.
Okay. So when I was eating all the things and just intermittent fasting, the benefits were, like everybody talks, mental clarity, tons of energy, balanced mood, all those things. Oh, less aches and pains.
Right.
And starting to see some of the crazy things like skin tags and stuff like that fall off. But when I did clean eating with intermittent fasting, all of those same things, but amplified. Now I have no aches and pains. None. I'm 56.
That's amazing. I don't wake
up with aches and pains. My eyes are clearer. Even more energy. I'm already the Energizer Bunny, but even more energy, like more mental clarity. I was on the podcast the other day with yesterday's one. Just that, can't put it into words, but just a centeredness and a peace. That in a simple, more simplified life.
Yeah. For anybody who's listening, if you've been wondering if food quality was the tweak you needed to make, let this be your call to action for yourself. It really, really is.
It is. I'm sorry.
You know, when you find the food that and the nourishment that makes your body feel its best and also gives you that emotional feeling of You know, I'm emotionally satisfied. But, you know, I never had the emotional satisfaction from an entire pint of ice cream or whatever, or a bag of Doritos. That felt yucky. So when you feel good physically and emotionally after you've eaten, that's what you're looking for.
And we all know this, we've heard before, your cravings do go away. You do get that under control, you know, when you're clean eating. Your body just starts reacting to it and wanting, you know, more of the stuff. So yes, everybody, it's time to grow up and be an adult and eat like a girl.
If you think that's your tweak, it's your tweak. Yeah. But, you know, here's the funny thing that just came to my head. You know, we're calling it clean eating. Here's how you know what to eat. Go back 1,000 years and just what they called eating.
Yes.
Maybe not 1,000, maybe 200. Go back 200 years. What they called eating.
Before manufacturing.
Exactly. Yes. Before electricity and factories. If you just go back before electricity and factories, whatever they called eating, eat that.
Exactly. Was this manufactured in the ground, on the ground?
Right.
Or if it was manufactured in a building? I don't know.
I mean, they were still making, you know, like pasta and stuff. They were still eating foods, but they had to like grind it up and do it themselves and make the bread and, you know, all that.
That's my story. That is my lesson. This works for me.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for a lifetime. And just too, by being in the community and other things have happened beyond fasting. So thank you for the exposure to bioidentical hormone replacement therapy.
You are so welcome. So different. Yeah.
So different. So just being in this community, being exposed to other things, like just learning, like we're all going to be aging well. We're going to enjoy the journey. I work in a retirement community. I look at that is an interesting study every day to look at people from their 70s to their hundreds and just watch who is aging well. What are they doing? What do they look like? And I look at them and I'm like, I'm going to be living in my cute little retirement community, having a blast because I'm going to be aging well and I'm building that foundation now. So all the things I've been learning, thank you, Jen, all the things I've been learning in this community and having my friend to share it with, like we are kicking butt. We are postmenopausal kicking butt ladies. Woo-hoo!
I love it. Yeah. And you know, the 50s is the time. It's never too late. I mean, wherever you are, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, it's not too late. But it feels so good to be doing this in our 50s, right? Knowing that we can do it now.
And we all know when we look at pictures of our grandmothers, they did not look this good. They did not look great.
That's true. Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Clean fast. Obviously, embrace the clean fast. And I think, honestly, it's a journey. It is a journey. You will get wiser along the way. So don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Just be consistent and just trust that over time that you will know what's right for you. You may have to try different things. You may have to tweak things. But it's a journey, and it's a journey that I find now that I'm going to be able to release all of the guilt, the shame, the restriction. So just enjoy it.
But I love that you have found a way of eating that is making your body feel satisfied, like I said, physically and emotionally. It doesn't feel like a chore. You get to eat delicious food every day, and your body is responding well as you nourish it.
I know I joke with my husband. I'm like, I don't recognize myself anymore. And I don't recognize how we're eating. And he's finally joined the journey 3 years later.
Okay.
He's intermittent fasting now and he'll eat whatever I give him. So he's eating clean as well. And we're just looking at ourselves going, I can't believe this is us. Look how good we're doing and how great we feel.
And he feels amazing, right?
He's doing well. So.
Well, I'm so glad to hear it. Well, thank you for sharing. It's never too late. And thank you for sharing your story, Liz, because, you know, I'm glad we're sharing it today versus 5 months ago, right? Because this is the point where you have a new tweak to share. And
I'm still on the journey. I'm not to my goal body yet, but I'm going to get there and I'm going to enjoy the ride.
I love that.
I'm not stressed about when I'll get there.
That's the best part. Well, thank you so much, Liz.
Jen, thank you so much for what you do. Seriously, I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family.
where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 65th National Finals of Distinguished Young Women.
Every year, one girl from every state leaves her family, her whole life behind, for 2 weeks and spends each day training, practicing, preparing. Because to win this competition, she needs to wow a panel of judges with her academic record, her athletic ability, her speaking skills, and a show-stopping talent.
I met her and I was like, she's gonna win.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
When I sing that song about being a Black woman in America, there's gonna be backlash about that.
Oh, I'm just so happy, so happy.
I don't wanna see them, I don't wanna talk to them.
And then we stayed with them for the next year, unpacking just what happened those 2 weeks in Mobile. I'm Shimol Yai, and from Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.